through the book of Galatians. This morning, text is verse 6 through 14. I'll go ahead and read that. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "In you all the nations shall be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree," that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Lord, again, as we continue through this rich treasure field, Lord, we ask that you would deposit truth, spiritual enlightenment, your Spirit in us, Lord, for your purpose. We turn to you. We call on your name. We ask that you have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Galatians, Paul again defending his apostleship and arguing, defending his ministry continues. This portion of Scripture is so rich and happens to be one of my favorite portions in Scripture, one of my probably 10 most favorite, speaking about redemption and freedom and faith. Paul, in holding up the gospel and arguing against those that are coming against or trying to undermine the gospel, is, first of all, he brings up Abraham as a witness or an example. Abraham's faith. Because Abraham was revered by the Jews. Everybody respects Abraham. So he calls Abraham and Abraham's life as a credible witness to the stand for his case. And he said, just as Abraham believed God. He uses Abraham's faith as an example, as one to be modeled after or followed. Abraham, according to the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, by faith, the author of Hebrew describes some of his life and living by faith, and states that Abraham, by faith, obeyed God when God called him out of the land of the Chaldeans. He called him. He was obedient. He left the idols of his forefather. He worshipped God. It's this example of faith, leaving the idolatry of the past, going into a new worship with God. His obedience was marked by the author of Hebrews as part of his testimony of his life by faith. He goes on to say, Abraham, by faith, sojourned in the land of promise. He sojourned, just kind of moved around. He never really, the Bible says, received the promise. Even though God told him one time, Abraham, look as far as you can, to the east, to the west, to the north, and the south. This land is all yours, and to your descendants who follow you. And Abraham, even though getting the promise, never really received the promise, never really inherited the promise, yet continued to live by faith in the land of promise. He continued to sojourn, a type for a journey of faith. He lived by faith, obediently. He walked, lived it out, journeying. Even though he didn't, the materialization of the promise never, came into fruition for him. He continued to live by faith. The Bible says further on in Hebrews that he, by faith, Abraham offered up Isaac. He went up Mount Moriah and offered, was willing to sacrifice his own son, the Bible says, because he trusted God, that God would raise him up. His trust for God. He knew, because of the promises of God, that even if I slayed him, God will resurrect him. Fully trusting in God, placing his own beloved son before him, willing to offer him up. Just as an example of obedience and walking by faith and trusting God, Abraham says, just as Abraham, you know, believed God, the same way that he believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness, he went on to say, that he was saved. He saved because he believed God. And he manifested that belief in God through his actions. And, you know, using Abraham's faith, Paul quotes how he was saved. Just as Abraham was saved, so shall we. He goes on, he says, therefore, know in verse 7, that only those who are of faith, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. See the same principle of operation of faith that Abraham lived is necessary in you and I to become a spiritual son of Abraham, to be in line with his spiritual blessings, to receive salvation. It's in the same operation or principle of faith that Abraham exhibited, demonstrated, that Paul says, you know, we have to walk in. Notice he says in verse 7, therefore, know. You know, God doesn't want us to be in the dark. This isn't something, you know, mysterious, you know, secret code. He's up front. He's open with it. He wants us to walk in the light. He wants us to know. I read of an Arabian proverb yesterday, which stated that if one person calls you an ass or a donkey, pay no attention to him. But if five people call you one, go out and buy yourself a saddle. He wants us to know. He doesn't want us to be an ass. He wants us to live in the realization of his promises, to live by faith, to live in accordance to the operation of faith. As Paul goes on with his argument that we might live according to faith and by faith, he gives a present application in verse 9. He said, so then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So he takes this reality, this realization of living and the operation of living by faith, the principle of the operation of living by faith, which Abraham before us, the father of faith, lived out in his life, which in order to be a spiritual son of Abraham, we have to live. And he brings it right to the present, right to this morning. He says, so then, those who are of faith, if you live of faith, by faith, this morning, you're blessed. You're under and you receive the blessings of Abraham. You're entitled to them. God will pour them out on your life. How? Why? Because of faith. Because you believe in God's plan, that Christ died for you. You accept what he has for you. You deny what your own life desires. Here he says, so then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham, this present blessings that we can enter today, this morning. Paul goes on in his argument from the blessings of Abraham and how we're entitled to walk in them and receive them to the curses. He said that for as many in verse 10 as are of the works of the law are under the curse. According to the law, you know, the Bible says according to the law that no one, you know, if anyone breaks, James says, if you're guilty of one point of the law, you're guilty of the whole law. You know, no one can keep the law. But the Bible has given the law that we might realize that we can't keep it. But there's those that live according to the law, under the law. Paul says, if you live by this basis, trying to relate to God by this basis, being good enough, doing it on your own, that you're under a curse. You're missing it. It's the outcome of breaking the law, the curse, the Bible tells us. It's interesting, in this short passage of 9 verses, 6 scriptures are mentioned. Paul quotes 6 Old Testament scriptures. So he's given this treatise or exposition about living by faith. He's not shooting from the hip. He's given it a biblically based expounding the truth about living by faith, quoting 6 or portions of 6 Old Testament scriptures. He lands on Habakkuk 2:4 in verse 11. The just shall live by faith, he says. This is the third time it's mentioned in the New Testament, quoting this Old Testament prophet that you see has been God's plan all along. That God desires us to live by faith. It's been written in the Old Testament prophet. The book of Romans talks about it. In Hebrews, it's written and stated. And here in Galatians, that the just shall live by faith. This plan of God's for you to live by faith. Yeah, we have a choice. He goes on to explain that we have a choice. Every man has a free will. Every man can choose to live by faith or to decline a life of faith. Paul says, though, if you decline, you're under the law. You're under the curse. You're cursed. He, in verse 12, states, yet the law is not of faith. Yeah, the one who lives by them is under them. Describing the distinction between the two, the difference between a life of faith and a life under the law, or a life that declines a faith in Christ. A curse is attached to it. A life declining Jesus Christ, you're cursed. The Bible says, Jesus stated, that for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he does not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Jesus gives us the choice. Light has come into the world, and condemnation has been dealt with and taken away if you believe in the name of the Son of God. If you accept, you trust your heart, you live by faith with Jesus Christ, the curse and the condemnation is removed. It's a choice. Paul goes on explaining how the curse was removed. In verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You know, the Bible tells us that everyone is born under the curse. Spurgeon says it's universal. You can't escape it. You're all born under condemnation, with a condemned rap and under the curse. Yet, Jesus said there's freedom from that curse and condemnation. You simply accept God's plan and accept the, believing in the cross and the work of the cross. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You know, some say, oh, I was born that way. You know, that's a viable argument that we all struggle with. It's our nature. Our nature's strong. So we get set in our habits, our patterns, our ways. It's the way I am. I was born that way. That's what homosexuals claim. I was born that way. And how often we defend our behavior because it's the way I am. Yet Jesus said, which necessitates the need to be born again. Unless you're born again, he's not asking us to live the new life in the old nature. You can't put new wine in the old wineskin. He's asking us to live the new nature by the Spirit. The Bible tells us to live a life of faith. that Christ redeemed us from the curse. He paved the way. He paid the penalty. He paid. Redeem means to purchase out of slavery. It actually means to make a payment, to pay the cost. And the idea is to be purchased out of slavery. Or another description or illustration is Christ took you off the market. You accept Christ, it's as if he bought you, took you off the market. You know, every man is under the curse. But the Bible says that Christ redeemed us from the curse. We accept him. He removes the curse. He takes us from out from under the curse. You know, pays the cost, pays the penalty. Christ has redeemed us, purchased us. Really, over and over again, Paul, you know, reiterates, remember in chapter 1, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of God our Father. In 2:20, he states that I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He paid the price. He paid the penalty. He purchased us. The Bible tells us he redeemed us, making the payment. The Bible says here that cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Defining, you know, this curse in the Old Testament law, the Bible said that, you know, the Jew, it was such a shameful, defiling thing to have a body hanging on a tree. You know, if a criminal committed a crime, and as a source of or an example of retribution, he's hanging on the tree as an example, public example. The Jew thought it was so shameful and defiling, he wouldn't leave him hanging on a tree overnight, the Bible says. In the law, he would take him down. Otherwise, it would defile the land in the Jewish mindset. The defilement of the of those who hang on the tree. But Christ became a curse for us, the Bible said. He redeemed us, having become a curse for us. He endured the shameful, horrible, cruel suffering of the cross. You know, becoming a curse. You know, a God that suffers for us. What love. And Christ enduring the cross for us, redeeming us from slavery, redeeming us from the curse, enduring the shame and the humility. He paid the penalty that God requires, having become a curse for us. He removes the curse. Josh McDowell, in his little book, More Than a Carpenter, gives an example of the work that God did through Christ at the cross for us. And a little story he uses to illustrate a true story. A young woman was picked up for speeding. She was ticketed and brought before the judge. The judge read the citation and said, "Guilty or not guilty?" She said, "Guilty." The judge brought down the gavel and fined her $100 or 10 days in jail. Then an amazing thing took place. The judge stood up, took off his robe, walked down around in front, took out his billfold, and paid the fine. You know, what's the explanation of this? The judge was her father and loved his daughter. His daughter had broken the law, and he couldn't say to her, "Because I love you so much, I forgive you. You know, you may leave." If I had done that, he wouldn't have been a righteous judge. But he loved his daughter so much, he was willing to take off his judicial robe and come down in front and represent her and her father as her father and pay the fine. Well, Christ did. He redeemed us at the cross. You know, Spurgeon says, when you get a look, a true view of the cross, what Jesus did, why he was there, he died in our place. He bled. He gave his blood. God, the mystery of godliness, a God becoming man, that he might die and suffer in our place, redeeming us, paying the cost. You get a real look at that, and you know, don't respond. If you don't respond to that love, to what Christ did for you, then you didn't see it. You think you saw it. And Christ having redeemed us from the curse, the Bible tells us, by what he did on the cross. The purpose to be wrought, what God desires that we receive. You know, the Bible says in the first section in chapter 3, remember, Paul says, you've been bewitched. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. Only this do I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Did you receive the Spirit? See, it could be summed up in that question. Did you receive the Spirit? Paul's asking, did you receive the Spirit? See, Jesus paid the cost. He paved the way. All expenses are paid for you to receive the Holy Spirit. All expenses are paid for your forgiveness, for your pardon, for new life, for power. The effect of the cross, what Jesus did, has been paid. Paul, he asks, did you receive the Holy Spirit? You know, we went over it. Paul said, hey, you've been bewitched. You got to get back on track. I mean, you got sidetracked. You've been off course. God re-rails you, puts you on course. But there's more than being back on track. He wants you to do the locomotion. He wants you to recognize the operation of that train. He wants us to live in the principle and the operation of faith. He wants us to go along with his movement. He wants us all to learn the new dance. Locomote. To live according to the principle of faith. Paul said, you know, Christ has redeemed us. Then finally, why he redeemed us? You know, to understand the payment's been made and paid in full. But in verse 14, he said that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Christ paid that cost for that reason and purpose, that we might receive the Spirit of the promise by faith. Let's stand. Did you receive the Spirit? The Bible says that he comes to us, simply, Abraham was accounted righteous because he believed God, simply believing, responding with your heart, spiritually opening your heart to him. He pours out his blessings, the blessings of Abraham. We're entitled to them. How? Why? Because just as Abraham believed God, even so, only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your truth. We thank, Lord, for the purpose of the cross and, Lord, for paying the penalty and removing the curse and taking us from out from under the curse that entitled us, Lord, because of your grace, because of your love, the blessings in our life and over our life, the blessings of Abraham. Because of faith and believing you. Lord, let this operation of faith rejuvenate in our understanding. Cause us to know, not to be like a mule that has no understanding, that needs to. You need to put a bit in his mouth to direct them painfully. But Lord, cause us to yield submissively to you, to your understanding, to your plan, to your way, to operate in a life living by faith. Lord, help us. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. You've been there so long with your tenacity and your steadfast love for us, Lord, that you won't let us go. But we ask, Lord, that we get a glimpse of the truth of the cross and that we respond to you, Lord, accordingly, the way you desire. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee.
The Lord make His face to shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Receive it. God bless.